We're here with three other couples. I want to give a shout out to Rose Christ. And Louie. And and Mike.
No one knows these people.
You know what? But I do.
It's the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Are you guys swinging?
Frank. What's that?
Are you guys swinging?
And we were swinging.
Dad, they're around you.
No, I walked in the other room.
That's not a denial.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
I don't know anything about wrestling at all. Nothing. I never watched it. I don't know anything.
I like that topic of like, what are your like pop culture blind spots?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a bad one.
I have a lot of them.
I have some bad. I think I have some that I wouldn't even think of. Yeah. Right, but I definitely have like really famous movies I've never seen. Yeah. I do a lot of the nodding along and pretending like I've seen a movie if everybody in the room has seen a movie, unless they're specifically talking about not having seen the movie.
I love how people like, oh my god, you haven't seen The Godfather. I mean, I've seen The Godfather finally. I saw it like a couple years ago, but like the people overreact to people not seeing movies. Like there are a lot of movies out there. Sorry, I haven't seen all of them.
There's certain ones that are like trendy to be upset that people haven't seen too. So it's like on the, I don't know if you guys watched the Inside Outtakes, Bo Burnham, but he made a joke about everybody who says their least favorite word is moist.
Oh,
like, get
yes.
over yourselves.
So good.
Which is genius. But it's kind of like that, like The Godfather, Jurassic Park. Like there are certain movies that everybody wants to be so upset. You haven't seen Top Gun?
Like, that was such a good bit, that moist bit, and that I can't believe that didn't make the cut. Like, why is that getting cut?
There were a few things that didn't make the cut that I was shocked by, but man,
so good.
That one was so good. He's amazing.
Yeah. We've started, by the way. This is the Greg Cody Show, and
cool.
He's not here today. Jeremy Teschet's with us. Obviously, you've heard him talking. We're rattled here without Greg Cody. Like, how is this show, the Greg Cody Show, with Greg Cody Yeti? Like, how is this going to survive without him?
Hold on, let me turn into Greg Cody.
Oh wow,
he's already a Greg.
Hey guys, you like my video?
Oh yeah, terrible.
Is my lighting,
okay? Yeah. Yeah,
off
terrible lighting.
My headphones aren't in. Oh crap! No wonder I can't hear you.
Yeah, your audio's. You need to be a little more tinny, if you could.
Eh.
But you need to get a little more tinny. I think.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
If
that's
you
true.
Want my dad to
see, and you had to repeat that twice. So
yeah,
now we know we're on track.
No, so yeah, Greg's away.
He's alive still, by the way. That's just something we always need to state. With the,
yes, as far as we know.
Yeah, he's just, where is he? You know him, like, he's my dad. He's in St. Augustine, right?
I don't even know.
I think he is. He texted me, actually. He was like, he sent me a text saying, hey, do you want me to send some content from St. Augustine? It's like, dad, what I don't want is you to record yourself just saying, hey, guys, I'm in St. Augustine. Like, I'm like, if something comes up that's funny or interesting, sure, record it, send it. But my dad loves to like, he loves to just like be like, anytime me and my dad do anything now, we could be just like at the driving range. Hey, should we do a little for the podcast? It's like, dad, what are we going to talk about? Just like, he thinks everything we do is like podcast worthy. I'm like, dad, we're just at, you know, we're just eating lunch at Tijuana Taxi. Like, I don't know why this is like noteworthy for the podcast.
I wonder if that's, so we all who have grown up in my generation with social media, like we've been performing to the camera our whole lives.
And my dad's
is
finally,
this right. just his official realization of, oh, everything is content.
That hook of like,
everything
I want,
can be content.
I'm doing something. Why shouldn't everybody know I'm doing it?
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just sinking in. Social media didn't get him, but the podcast did.
I think I turned over. I finally like went over the like my. I'm trying. What cliche am I looking for here, Yeti?
You turned over a new leaf.
I finally like when I boiled over,
bridged the gap.
No. I finally when you go like I. I'm
yeah,
having a moment
boiled
here.
Over.
I
yeah.
when I boiled over and right? I finally like broke on so like I used to be the person that was like I need to like document everything where I'm at. It's when I started going to concerts and I was the guy that had like. The dots on my Instagram story because I ended up showing almost an entire concert. Not the entire, but like a part of almost every song. And I like look back at it. I'm like, this isn't enjoyable to watch. Why was I grabbing my phone at every song? I was just like, I judged myself afterwards and I was just like, a new leaf. You're not that guy anymore. You're not that guy.
Yeah, and you miss a lot of the actual like experience when you're trying to document the whole thing. Right. Like,
and these videos are never good when you watch them back, like a concert video. Like, oh, I need to document this. It's like, no, just enjoy it.
I always make sure at a concert, I just take one video.
Right.
So I might, and if a song that ends up being played that like I never expected to be played, I might get 10, 15 seconds of it just so that
like
I can
like. If they play Peppas, for sure.
Exactly. Right. No matter who's playing a cover of Peppas. The next time I see Bruce Springsteen in concert, I hope he plays a cover of Peppas. I think that would be incredible.
We should do our top five most ridiculous, the top five funniest groups that like that it would be if they
Yo-Yo Ma.
Oh yeah,
Yo-Yo Ma has got to be on that list.
That's it. That's the winner. Let's
go. Yeah, it might be. We could come up with a top five.
Celine Dion,
a really good one.
Celine Dion.
Oh my God, Celine Dion would be great.
If your Peppas the most.
I have some regrets on what I said about Celine Dion a few weeks ago on the Levitard show.
Like what did you say? I don't remember.
And I just said she was a one-hit wonder, I believe.
Oh yeah, that's completely false.
And after studying, not one-hit wonder, but like I don't know what I said exactly, but I definitely
pretty sure that's what you said. Yeah,
I dismissed her a little bit. I was like, basically, she has the Titanic song, and that's it. I think that's basically what I said. Uh-huh. And having doing some digging, and I went down a rabbit hole of a Spotify Celine Dion channel. She's got some bangers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean. There's a reason why she's Celine Dion. There's a reason why we all know who she is, even without necessarily knowing any of her songs. Because she's not famous for like being a celebrity.
Right.
She's just famous for being amazing at singing.
It's funny the recipe you have to have in your career for like Vegas to want to like give you a residency. It's like Backstreet Boys, Celine Dion.
I'm pretty sure the Jonas Brothers have one right now.
Yeah, so it's like the random acts. Weird. Like, you know what I mean? Like the biggest stars, like, don't really do it, but like that next tier of big stars do. I mean, I guess some of the biggest stars do. Elton John's done it.
I mean,
so like,
Gaga did, right?
I shouldn't say the biggest stars don't.
I think
do
it's
it,
the but. Longer Vegas runs, right? Like, or it maybe it's more surprising that you can have both. That you can have like the superstars like that, where right. Elton John would do it, but then also you have the Jonas Brothers. And no offense, I'm a Joe bro right here. I love me some Joe.
But then there's like the Carrot Tops. I guess that's kind of like a shtick. If you have a shtick, you can go to Vegas. You either have to be like a big star or you have a shtick.
Yeah, I mean, do they have comedians that have residencies? Because Carrot Top's whole thing is a little bit different than traditional stand-up comedy, right?
Yeah, prop comic. Steve Martin also.
Steve Martin.
I don't see this is a pop culture blind spot for me. I don't know. I don't know anything much about Vegas shows.
I've never been to Vegas. I'm just speaking off of what I've learned through other people and pop culture references.
Vegas is for sure a little slightly overrated, I will say.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun like you know, like to gamble and like be able to, but now you can almost do that anywhere. So now it's like that right. They've lost that. I've gone a couple times and you're always so ready to leave after like 2 days.
I think that's the thing. Any place where you would want to not be for longer than a couple of days doesn't sound like a place that I necessarily want to go. But since I've never been, I'm going to have to go eventually. Like, I want to check it out, but I just don't know that it's the dream vacation spot.
Yeah, I have only flown through, never spent any time there. So
is that kind of like, can you say you've been to Nevada if you've only like, what's the rule here on like if you've actually been to a state? Like if you just flew through, you haven't been to that state, right? Like
flown over, you mean? Like not like a connecting.
If you have a connecting flight. I think you have to like leave the airport and like at least eat lunch somewhere.
What if you purchase something from the airport? You made a transaction in that state.
You crossed the threshold where you'd have to go back through security.
Ooh.
So like basically what I'm saying is if you have like a map at your house in your office that you put pins in of every place you've been, are you able to put a pin in Houston if I've only been there
in
the
airport?
This is
so tough.
It depends if I'm trying to win a contest on who's been to the most states. If I can beat them without having to count airports, sure, I don't count it.
To leave the airport. That's my rule. I think if you've just flown there through there, you haven't really gone there. That's my rule and I'm sticking to it.
It's just it would be pretty amazing to have I'm just trying to get over the fact that you could theoretically make a purchase in a place you've never been.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you can do that online, obviously.
Through, right.
You know, purchasing on businesses like this.
Yes, this is how the internet works, Jeremy.
I mean, I know that's how the internet works, but
this isn't Greg Cody now.
In person. All right. I took over the Greg Cody mantle.
I went to Florence with my wife's family a few years ago, and we flew. We like didn't ever leave the airport, but we stopped in Germany on the way. Like that's where our flight from America to Germany, and then we flew to Germany to Italy. So it's like, have I been to Germany? Like, I don't think I have. I don't feel like I have.
I did the same thing, a connecting flight from the UK. Yeah. So it's the same deal. I don't feel like I've been there either. But I also didn't purchase anything. So I don't feel like
I had some, but I did eat in the airport. I like, you know, they had a German. So I did like, I was like, hey, we're in Germany. Let's go to the German restaurant place. And I ate like, I don't even remember what I ate, but like some schnitzel.
Did you get your passport stamped?
Yeah, I think so. I think you have to, right?
Then that should count. It's legal document. It's legally documented that you've been there.
Right, but it's not going in my office pin. I mean, shit, that would look so cool to say I've been to Germany.
Fuck. Yes, because no one has ever been to Germany. You're so unique, Christopher. You've been to Germany.
Imagine my Tinder profile. Been to Germany.
Swiping left and...
that just reminded me of... what's the... Beer Fest?
Oktoberfest?
No, but isn't there a movie called Beer Fest?
Oh, the movie? I've never seen it if there is.
Oh, man, it's a classic.
Sounds like a 90s movie.
06. Yeah, Beer Fest.
06, oh, total 90s movie.
Yeah, it's like the crew. It's like,
I mean, Jeremy, you were 12.
Yeah. Yeah, 2006. Yeah, I was 11.
It's the crew that does Super Troopers. It's like the Super Troopers
crew.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Oh, you guys got to watch it. Oh, my God. Man, it is a great, like, dumb comedy.
It is funny how a single year can be a cutoff in what you know. So, like, anything that came out in, like, 2008, because I was 13 years old,
yeah,
I know everything in 2008.
Yeah.
I saw The Hangover, you know?
Yeah.
But everything before that is an immediate cutoff that I don't think I know any of it. And it's just, it's a mere number of months.
Right. If if Beer Fest came out in 08,
I would know what it is. Yeah, I would have seen it for sure.
Yeah. But it's 11-year-old Jeremy, 11-year-old Jeremy is not watching Beer Fest.
I was going to say, this is where the age difference between me and Jeremy really freaks me out. Because I talk to him right now, and it's like we're peers.
Right.
But he references being like a freshman in high school in 2008. I got married in 2008, man. And I was 28. It's not like I was, you know, fresh out of high school getting married.
Oh, no. Yeah. I just felt it.
I was in eighth grade when Barack Obama was elected president.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
It's so bizarre to me.
That's why I, even if you'll notice, when we do like 90s baseball stuff on the show,
you're kind of faking
it. I'm late 90s, early 2000s, really more is my sweet spot. Like, right. I'm more of the, you know, those 03 Marlins, not the 97 Marlins, right? Like, that's
right. You want to do Pat Burrell.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. See, you know the game I play. Scott Rolen.
Yeah, Scott Rolen.
You know, right. That's...
We're doing more Lieberthal, which is like, mm-hmm. 10. Mike Lieberthal is probably like mid-90s, and you want to do...
Yeah, exactly. So I go I just trend up. I'm more MVP baseball than, you know, earlier than that. So that's kind of the age cutoff for me.
How is there such a consensus with MVP baseball 05? Like... It's so weird because you don't have that really in, like, what's the best NBA 2K? Like, right? I mean, no one really...
I think it's because it stopped. I think it's because, like, baseball, like, MVP baseball didn't really continue beyond a certain point. And the other baseball video games that picked up from there just aren't...
I thought it was, like, a couple... That was literally the last one.
I think it was, like, 04, 05, and maybe it lasted till 07?
Yeah.
Or something like that. But then from there, you had... There was an MLB 2K, and then there was MLB The Show, and The Show just kind of ran away with it. But it's so different than what MVP baseball was, so we're all just nostalgic for it.
Oh, and I played... There's MVP NCAA baseball 06. That game, I crushed that game.
Oh, that was the best. With was the guy from Texas on the cover?
Yes, I'm staring at it. Oh, my God, dude.
See? Oh, man.
I played that game so much, dude.
What platform were you playing MVP Baseball 05 on?
I was a PS2 guy, whatever. PS.
I was the Nintendo GameCube.
So there was no online play for you?
Uh-uh.
I played on the computer. You could play online.
Oh yeah, no.
You could, I could, if you had their direct IP address, like your friend or a family member. So my brothers and I, we weren't living in the same place, And so they'd send me their IP address and I'd just plug it in. I'd send them mine, plug it in. We could play against each other. It was like, I think that was my first experience with online gameplay.
That's so cool.
But like, that's what I loved about it. Like, it was a great game, good, smooth gameplay, good graphics for the time. And we could play online.
Did either of you play Slugfest?
No.
That sounds familiar.
Oh, man. See, that one. Okay, so that one, it was perfect to have both MVP Baseball and Slugfest at the same time. Because Slugfest was sort of like NFL Blitz.
Okay, I do remember, yeah.
So it was like, but because it was insane. So what it was is, if you got hot, yeah.
Flame, like I'm looking at pitches now, like you throw like flame fastballs.
Yeah, you would throw fastballs that were on fire and that were like 170 miles an hour, only if you like struck out a certain amount of guys in a row before that, right? So you like had to get hot. So almost like NBA Jam in that way. But then also, it was like encouraged to fight in the game. So literally, there was a button for punching. So it was like you'd be rounding first and you'd punch the first baseman. And then you'd be going towards second and they would get the ball in from the cutoff man. And if you punched the second baseman, the ball could fly out potentially and then you'd run to third. It was completely insane. And it was during the steroid era. So it was literally, it was Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa and all these dudes were purposely like hulked out of their minds. And so you had that, which was this totally made up fictional version, and MVP Baseball at the same time. So it was perfect to have that sweet spot. Oh my gosh. Man, I miss being 10.
Did either of you ever play dirty, like in real life? Like even on, whether it was like just in the, on the playground or in the backyard or like in your little league or anything, did you ever?
Or in the bedroom?
Baby.
When I started playing travel baseball and as soon as we got metal spikes, I was going in spikes up. Yeah, I was. I was definitely
trying. That's
surprising. I was breaking up. Oh, I was. No. Here's what's crazy.
Yeah, no, we've declared Jeremy like the nicest guy on the world.
Yeah, this is what's crazy is that I, and it's funny, my fiance got to witness this like way deep into our relationship.
Are you like oddly competitive?
I am a maniac at baseball. Like baseball, just baseball. I was.
You'll like truck a catcher?
Oh, I absolutely would have. And I was like, I one time caused a brawl because I threw behind a kid and then, you know, he had it coming, but, and I definitely broke up my share of double plays with some late slides. But
like,
I was
like a slide into second, I'm with you, but you're like cleats up. I'm like, geez,
you know, but it's not like, I'm not trying to hurt people.
You're like, as soon as I got metal spikes, I never went in cleats down again.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I said. Yeah. You know what? I don't take it back. I was kind of the truth. And as a pitcher, I was such a competitive maniac that I was like, I was a showboat when I was going. So I would like absolutely stare down the opposing dugout and like say things toward them after strikeouts. And yeah. And so when my fiance was my girlfriend in college, I played club baseball and we'd been dating for like a couple of years. And then she came out and saw me play for the first time and was like, you were literally like a different person out there. Like it's, I didn't.
I bet she liked it.
I mean, we're engaged, so she did not like it.
Sometimes I put on my baseball cap in the bed. No, I'm just kidding.
Now we're going too far.
Is Spikes Up the name of your debut album or your sex tape?
Both.
Hell yeah. Chris, were you ever, did you ever like get a little too intense and play kind of dirty?
Not really. I didn't pitch, so I never really threw at anybody. I did. The only beef I ever had with in baseball was I was seeing a girl that was maybe dating a kid on another on Piper. I played at South Plantation.
All right, that's comedically Piper.
It was like a love triangle that ended up. I never got thrown at, but it was definitely some shit talking going on. We're like guys jogging around the field before like, "Where you at, Cody?" Like as they're like jogging by and stuff like.
I can envision this perfectly.
You know, sometimes love gets in the way, man. The heart wants what the heart wants.
I only have a couple of experiences, but the worst one, it was just taking the game too seriously, taking it very literally from what I'd learned by watching Major League Baseball. I was like 10 and we were at my grandma's house. She has a big front yard and we were playing. I don't know if it was like, you know, wiffle ball or t-ball or something. I had my little cousins there. I'm the oldest. And my cousin Whitney was like 5 and or no, I would have been 9. She would have been 5. And she's blocking the base path with the ball, trying to tag me. Watching baseball, what do? You truck the person. I'm 9. She's 5, and she's a small 5.
You trucked a 5-year-old.
She's a smive. Knocked her right over.
She's a small 5.
Horrible.
She was a small 5, and she dropped the ball. I made it to second base safely, but I did not make it out of that game without you know getting torn into by my uncles, rightfully so.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand at the time. I was like, we're just playing a game. You're supposed to play to win. And this is how, one of the ways you win. I did not have that connection at the age of 9 that, hey, maybe you could accidentally murder your cousin. So maybe don't do this.
I also almost accidentally murdered my cousin playing baseball in the backyard. We lost all of the soft baseballs that we were playing with. And so we got what was the equivalent of a golf ball and put it on a tee. And then I hit a line. We were like 10, 8, younger, maybe even like 5 or 4 years old.
This is not going to end well.
And I hit a line drive just straight in between the eyes and just immediately started swelling up.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
And it was pretty brutal. He was fine. He's cool. And he's fine. But we obviously, you know, my aunt panicked and we got into the car and start driving toward, you know, the doctor or the hospital or whatever, and ended up getting into a car accident on the way because we blew through a red light. It was an entire disaster. So yeah, I almost actually killed, you know, a lot of people playing baseball in the backyard. It's been
America's most dangerous man.
Who knew?
I think of you, Jeremy, as so like mild mannered and decent that I kind of want to ask you like the most enraged you've ever been, like at like a restaurant or like with some sort of service.
Oh, nothing that like that. I've been upset with service, but I'm like, unless you literally like walk up to me and spit in my food, I'm giving you a 20% tip.
Dude, that happened to me at Flanagan's the other night. We went for the game. Remember, I texted you. It was after the Marlins. It was last week. We went and everybody ordered food. We were watching the finals game and the food, everyone else's food came but mine. Mm. And, you know, we're watching a game and we still had the second half. So honestly, I was not sweating it. And when the guy like disappeared, it was like, it never happens at Flanagan's. We love Flanagan's, but like it was maybe he was busy. Like everyone at our table, like Lewis was more angry than I was.
It got
to the point where like the whole table's like it's been like, cause everyone's literally done with their meals and I haven't even seen my waiter and my food hasn't come yet. So it's like,
I'm just lucky I've never had an experience quite like that. But to your point, I
knew it wasn't the guy back there like, haha, Chris. It was just clearly a mistake that they didn't intend for. So I like don't get that angry in those spots.
I overcompensate for others if I'm eating and I don't think that their decorum is how I would behave at dinner.
If you're with somebody and you think they're not a good tipper, you're like, I got to tip more now.
Absolutely. Yeah. I do that constantly. Constantly. I have friends that I know for a fact are not good tippers. And so I'll end up tipping like, literally, I'll end up tipping like 40% because I'm like, I know that they're shorting these people. Oh, it's the worst.
And my dad, Greg Cody, the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody, can sometimes be a guy that like, if he gets really bad service, he'll start being like, I got to leave a lesser tip now. So my dad, I got to keep my eye on. Like, I'm always like, Dad, you're tipping normal. Like, I'm with you. You're representing all of us here. Like, I don't care that she took a little extra time to get your water, that refill. Like,
He is there with like a pen and paper, like marking off points, isn't he? Like, at least mentally he is.
My dad used to make the joke that like, if we were going to a nice restaurant somewhere where you're going to spend like $100, let's say. So he would want to put $20 in singles, like literally and then on take the one table. Away. And then it's literally like anytime he's like feeling it, like, oh, okay, that was up. Where's my refill? Okay, that's $1 back in the pocket. Like,
Greg, that is asshole behavior. Like,
he's never done it. He's joked about wanting to do it. He's like always said, I want to.
It's amazing that if he had his own way, your dad would be a character right out of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yes. Would get along swimmingly.
You would see, my dad is Larry David at restaurants. How irritable he gets and how short his fuse is. Let's call him right now, actually. It's his show. I'm going to do the speaker thing. He's not going to be able to hear you guys. Or no. Yeah. He's not going to be able to hear you. So I'll just talk to him. But
hello?
Hey, Greg Cody. This is Chris Cody. You're on the Greg Cody Show.
Okay. How you doing?
What are you doing?
I'm actually, we're closing down a 5 to 6 p.m. happy hour.
Of course you are.
Our haunted bed and breakfast here in St. Augustine, Florida.
Haunted?
It supposedly. In fact, we were just sharing stories about the legend and lore of this place. It's right next to a cemetery, and supposedly it's it used to be a funeral parlor, and supposedly haunted bed and breakfast. We haven't seen any evidence yet.
Yeah, it's probably a crock of shit.
Well, I sort of believe in some of that. I'm a pragmatic man. I don't believe in the supernatural necessarily, but I don't discount it either. I'm open-minded about it. And, right. You know, we're having a great time. I don't know if you're calling for any particular reason.
We were talking about assholes at restaurants, and you came up. I had a memory of you one time saying that you joked about wanting to like put a like, let's say we're going to spend $100 and you're tipping 20. You want to put 20 singles on the table and then like take a dollar away for every misstep.
Well, I do think, and boy,
here we go.
I'm stepping on landmines here because I don't want to be the guy who's the asshole. I don't want to be the guy who disrespects.
I think you're about to be.
And waitresses, I'm not that guy. What I will say is,
but
I expect good service. I will tip lavishly for good service. But if I get bad service, there shall be a little bit of a penalty.
There shall be is such a great word to phrase that.
There shall be.
And so, I believe with starting at a 25% tip and then working backward or faux pas in waitressing.
You're overcompensating. I've never seen you leave a 25% tip.
Yeah,
you're
starting at 25.
Week 25.
No, mom 25s.
Okay, well, you know, we're the same check. So,
how many drinks have you managed to crush during this free happy hour?
You know, we've done good. on the way here, a six pack jumped into my car.
We
had a couple of those in the room.
Okay.
And now the 5 to 6 p.m. happy hour, which is about over but still going on, wink wink, we're we're getting our money's worth.
Did you actually wink?
This is amazing.
I hope you
did. I winked. But this is exciting because you know, St. Augustine, Florida is
all right, enough of that. I think wink,
I'm the nation's oldest man, so I think we're good here. It's well a done. Beautiful That's time good. We're having.
Yeah, I stepped
we're
on
here with back. We're here with three other couples. I want to give a shout out to Rose Christ. And Louie. And
no one knows these people.
Anyway, but I do.
It's the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Are you guys swinging?
Frank. What's that?
Are you guys swinging?
And we were swinging.
Dad, they're around.
That's not a denial.
No, I walked in the other room.
That's a John Anderson song, by the way. That's the song he's singing there. I know that song.
Damn right it is. Yeah, damn right you do.
My dad is, are you guys, cause Dad, you can't hear Jeremy and Yeti Blanc here with me. God, it's loud.
Wait, you want me to go in the party room? I'll give you some real loud.
No, I don't want loud. I'm just saying, do you guys walk away when, like, my dad my dad walks away every single time he's on the phone. Like, and if you're having a serious conversation, I get it, but I don't know.
Yeah, I walk away.
You're a walk awayer?
I get really self-conscious about other people just hearing me talk.
Even in front of your family?
Because my volume is loud.
Well, once I saw on the caller ID that it was you calling.
He doesn't know you guys are talking.
You know, I had a feeling why you might be calling, and I don't want to subject my friends to this falter off.
All right, no, because it might ruin your swinging later.
This is amazing.
And we were swinging.
All right,
that'll do it.
Okay. All right.
Love you guys like a pet.
Okay.
All right.
Pet.
That was gold.
It's the sight, the sound, the smell of it, morning, night, or noon. It's the feeling you're always welcome, and when you leave, we'll see you soon. It's the place you always go to, when you're with friends or you're all alone. It's the taste of Nelly's Diner, the place you feel at home.
Step back in time when you step into Nelly's Diner. It's the only place in town that tastes Wild Bill Cody's Bison Burger, deep fried in Nana's 100-year-old lard. Or try a tall stack of our award-winning PFBI pancakes. Dig into the signature thang-a-thang salad. Or try an Uncle Dick footlong. Anything you want and anytime you want it, we got it. All served up with a free side of smiles. We are right where we've been for 60 years at 1440 Zagacki Street, downtown. Nelly's Diner. It's the taste of home you never had because your mom sucked at cooking.
It's the taste of Nelly's Diner that makes makes you feel at home.
All right, that was great. My dad is just chef's kiss. He can never not be Greg Cody. He's always Greg Cody. Jeremy's got to get out of here. Jeremy, thank you for chilling with us today. What to give the people, like, all you do, you have more jobs than anyone in America. So tell the people where they can check you out.
That's very nice of you to say. Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah. You should
everywhere.
Also,
Jeremy's like everywhere. Just follow me everywhere. On social.
No, yeah. Follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Taché, where I will provide you with Kate Bush and Catherine O'Hara inspired sports tweets. I also I have a podcast as well about South Florida sports. And this week, as you guys are listening to this podcast, this week is episode 50 of Miami Mic'd Up with Jeremy Taché.
Wow, the big 5-0.
Yeah, so we did a cool little best of. Our podcast host in Central Florida, Kaylee Mizell, actually interviewed me and asked me some questions about the first 49 episodes.
Okay, I thought it was going to be best of clips from all the 50, and I was going to be like, all right, where's
it
your all right, we're going to see.
Yeah, we'll see if you're in there, Chris.
Yeah.
We had a really good time with that, and I would love if you guys would subscribe to that, even if you don't listen. Just follow it and download it to boost our numbers, because that would be super, super cool. But yeah, follow me on Twitter and we'll go from there.
And then you guys do like a Beatles deep dive on your podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeremy is our unofficial official music correspondent on Yes, Maybe No, the podcast I do with Andrew Streeter.
Yes.
And you can go back. It's been over a year since we've had Jeremy on though. So it's time.
It's been a long time. We got to get back to it. I said get back to it.
Okay. Hey, that's the hint. Out. There's the hint.
That might be what we talk about.
Got back. Isn't that what his current tour?
That's his tour. His tour is Got Back.
His current tour on a Tuesday during his performance.
Chris enjoys the way I pronounce words that have the letter U.
During.
Yeah, you do that.
During.
Stupid. You do that.
Stupid. And what day is after Monday? What's after Monday?
Tuesday.
Yeah, oh Tuesday. Man, that is great.
I mean, Tuesday, stupid.
He always says that I'm making fun like of the Southern accent.
No.
That's not a Southern thing he's doing.
No, I don't it's say not. That with it. No, just, no, the Southern accent would be Tuesday.
Oh, man.
Or Tuesday. Tuesday spit with a CH. Tuesday.
Yeah, you just have a really specific way of speaking.
It's not even Southern. I don't even hear Southern there. It just sounds like Yeti. It's just your... I love it. Dude, I think of you now every Tuesday. Like, anytime anyone says the word Tuesday, I think of Yeti saying Tuesday.
It's Yeti Day.
Aw, once a week, you get a little reminder. Yeah. That's adorable. Well, on that note.
All right, bye, Jeremy. Go.
Yeah, I'll see you guys later.
Bye, right. Jeremy.
Bye.
Have fun recording Spikes Up.
Yeah, you got it.
Oh, man. So, have you had your first soccer game yet, or is it just still in the practice phase?
No soccer game yet, but just...
I guess soccer match for all the Puritans out there.
Well, what I'm learning is that it rains a lot in the summer in Florida. So, this is a summer league that just started, and we've had... we've tried to have four practices, and we've had one.
Oh, wow.
And we haven't even got the game schedule yet. We're getting there. It's a slow burn. It's not as easy as I thought, but I'm working on it. Watching YouTube videos, trying to learn how to coach. But 4 and 5 year olds, man, especially at this young age, there's such a wide gap. Like, some kids don't know anything, and some kids are like decent enough that they're like they don't want to be doing the basic stuff. So I almost have to have like I have them in two groups of like the kids that need like the most basic instructions and the kids that know what they're doing, and I can be more creative with like more fun drills for them, or because I want to stimulate everybody.
There's got to be a better way to say that.
That's weird.
it's hard, man. Coaching, like, it's hard enough to watch kids' sports, like when they're really young. It's really hard. But it's hard, and then you have to coach your own kid, and you're like, what do I do with this?
Yeah, and you end up being the hardest on her because, like, you feel like you can. Like, I'm not being
mean
to
her. Well, you also don't want
to
come across as playing favorites, too. So you have to.
Right, and about to sneeze.
It was a 4.
Should I have done an into the mic? Where was I?
You're coaching your own kid and
yeah, how you just can't them. Like you don't want people to think you're too easy on them, and you get frustrated with other kids at times, but you don't want to express it to them, so it bottles up, and then your kid does the littlest thing and it's like, come on, Graceland. Mm-hmm. And it's like that anger is from all the kids, but it's like you can't show it to those kids because
right so your kid takes the brunt of it. It's really difficult.
So I end up like, come on, Graceland, like snapping, like a quick little snap, and it's just like, sorry, I'm just this is hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I would love to know not ever have to coach my kids again in anything.
I still like, I think it'll get easier as they get older. Like I definitely think I'm going to be end up being a coach. I've always liked coaching in general. So I just think it's going to be something I'm probably going
to
do.
With Taekwondo, it's nice because my wife is one of the instructors at the school. So she gets to be their coach there for part of the time. So your dad's away now. It would transition a little bit. Did him and Earlene ever leave you and Michael at home alone, like over a weekend or anything as you got a little bit older? Or did you always have an adult staying with you?
Yeah, definitely as we got older. That's a good question on when like the first time was. I would think probably not until he graduated high school.
Okay, so while you're in high school, they
when I graduated, when I was like 18 and he's 14, that's probably like the first time, 18, like 19 or 15. Because there were definitely some times, like once we got into, once I was 20 something and he was like 18, like if they would go out of town, we usually would like have people over, like not like a party, but like, you know.
I was going to say, what did you ever get into hijinks when they would leave you like overnight?
Well, I think I've told the story before of in my senior year of high school. I just decided, I was like, I've never thrown a party. I've always gone to people's parties. Like, I want to have a party. It was my senior year. So it's like, I literally was like, Mom, Dad, go out, like, leave the house for the night. Like, go to dinner and, like, don't plan on coming home until late. And then it got so out of hand, the party, where, like, at first I had people, like, in the back pool room, living room, kitchen. And it was like, I had the rest of the house blocked off. But then at some point, it got out of hand, and like all of a sudden, I'm like walking through my house. There's people everywhere. My house is a mess, so I ended up like calling the cops.
Cops on your own party.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet that actually happens more than like people would think, just on the surface.
And I called my parents. I was like, "Hey, come home." I was like, "Please break this up. I need this has gotten out of hand."
How old were you?
This was senior year, so this was like 17 or 18, And it ended up, last week we were mentioning, like, you know, trying to woo girls. It actually ended up being a good move because one girl that I was kind of talking to, like, hung back and, like, helped me clean up.
So,
like, all of a sudden, it went from a party to everyone gone, and this girl was, like, hanging out. And, like, we ended up, I think, her and I driving to, like, someone else's, like, the party moved to someone else's house. So I was like, all right, once I got my house cleaned up, I was like, all right, I like parties better at other people's house. Let's just go.
Yes, it's me too. Even as an adult, I do enjoy hosting. I know a Mystery Crate a few weeks ago, y'all were talking about, like, are you the type of people that will invite people to come and stay if they're coming from out of town?
Yeah.
Like, I actually really enjoy that. Like,
you seem like the type that would insist people stay with you.
Like, I like
that. Because you just seem overly, like, gracious and like, oh, no, don't get a hotel. Come on. No, you're staying with us.
Like, well, yeah, I think it's partly plays that I hate paying for a place. I love being able to stay at like, friends and family. Right. But growing up, that's what we always did. We stayed at, you know, friends and family. We never paid for anything.
I'm a hotel guy. If I go, like, even if I'm visiting family.
Yeah, we really, I like to host. Like, I wanted, one of the reasons we left Seattle was I wanted a house that was big enough to host and that we could afford a yard, and you can't do that in Seattle. And so we moved back to the East Coast, and because I like when people come over. But big parties, yeah, I don't like hosting those. I used to host a really good Christmas party every year in my mid-20s. For like 3 or 4 years in a row, we threw this big Christmas bash, and that was fun. But I had a lot of friends that would help me out. And but now that I've got the kids around, I have to worry about getting them to bed and stuff. It's like, yeah, I don't like the whole big party thing, but having, you know, one or two families over, I really enjoy.
We've been living in this house, I think, going on 3 years now. And we still haven't gotten it to where we like want to like have a thing where we like host all of our friends over and stuff, like, and which is on us both, my wife and I. We're not great about, you know, taking care of business, TCB, and as my dad would say, take care of business.
Did you ever sneak out?
Yeah, but like I was not a big partier, man. Like I a couple times I snuck out to like go hang out with people probably, but like I was not a big, my parents didn't even really have a curfew on. I never went out enough for my parents to ever be like, you have to be home by this time. Like it was like, if I went out, they'd be like, okay, like let us know, like, oh, going to Bobby's house, okay. Like they in the neighborhood, like they wouldn't be like, they knew that I'd be home by midnight at the latest anyway. So it's like I was kind of lame. I didn't like really start like having fun and like till I got like over 21 and stuff. I was pretty like
fairly tame.
Yeah.
Yeah, I I never really had a curfew either. My parents just kind of trusted me. They knew all my friends that I right. would go out with, and
Zagaki.
And it was the high school parties. Like if I had like after parties, I was in theater, and so like the after parties, that would where they had a look because they didn't know everybody there as much. And those were the ones they should be more worried about than just hanging out with my friends from church. Although, while we didn't, we weren't into, drinking and drugs or anything like that. We were vandals, but, we
talked like eggings and stuff or toilet paper.
No, this is busting mailboxes.
Like driving by and just like,
no, it was target practice. So it was anything that wasn't tied down. It started out with like root beer bottles. Cause we love drinking that IBC root beer in the glass bottle. And then it was just like, eventually it turned into anything, including a paint can and a coconut one time. That was an interesting thing to throw.
Did you pronounce the A in theater?
Theater? I don't say theater, T-H-E-E-R. Like,
I know you're theater.
Theater. That's how it's spelled. That's how it's pronounced, Chris. Come on.
I just like, it's one of those words that you, yes, it's spelled with an A, but most people just kind of go past that A and it's theater. Like theater. And like, your enunciation, you do voiceover work and stuff. Like, your enunciation is so good. That's what I really think it is with your during and Tuesday. You look at a word and you're like, I am going to get the most. You're like a coach talking to the word. You're like, I'm going to get the most out of you. Hey, A, I bet the word theater, that A loves you more than anybody.
It doesn't get overlooked.
I imagine the word feels like whenever anyone says anywhere in the world theater, it like the word.
Oh, look at me. Look at me.
And that A gets such a vibration when you say theater.
I wonder if there's anything psychological behind that, because like if there's anything in this world that I have problems with, it's feeling like I'm left out. And maybe, right. maybe that's a thing. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm just trying to make sure everybody is taking.
You're like, hey, you don't want that A to feel left out. Hey, I hear you. I see you and I pronounce you.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Theater. On this week's Cinephile, we are doing Jurassic Park. So I wanted to see it this weekend. And I'm like a sucker on Fridays. My daughter's like, doesn't want me to take, like, I take her to school on Fridays, and sometimes when my wife leaves, she'll be like, Daddy, I want to stay home, like, let me, and I, like, do it, just because I like to have, like, little daddy-daughter days and stuff, where we just, like,
also, it's preschool, it's not, like,
right, exactly, yeah. And it's, like, she's gonna get more attention with me than, so, I was, like, okay, and then I thought, I was, like, wait, I wanted to go see Jurassic Park, and I was, like, you know what, bringing her.
Whoa, how'd she handle it?
She was good. I mean, I did like an hour in, she was getting a little restless, and I did give her my phone and with the headphones. So she had like, I gave her, I had like a backup plan, but she watched, and then she like watched her tap my phone for a little bit. And then she like came back at the end and was into it. She was watching it. Like she wasn't overly afraid. Like at the beginning, walking into the theater, she was like, she's four, by the way, for people that don't know. And she was like a little like, oh, are the dinosaurs scared? I'm like, it's not real. I'm gonna be right here. Like, it's just like you watch things on TV. It's just like that. And she was never like, a couple times she like hugged my arm, but like she never really like cried or anything. And
my son's real sensitive to people getting killed like on screen and stuff. He can't stand it. So like we were watching Doctor Strange, and they had the Jurassic World
preview
trailer.
Yeah,
and he sees this dude get bit in half, and he lost it. Like it just really messed him up. He's eight, so your daughter's handling it better than him, but he wasn't expecting it, and he did not do well after that. That kind of ruined his day.
I think she might have missed like the real like. There wasn't a ton of even death in it, but yeah, there was a couple.
How old were you when the first one came out?
Six, right? 93. So
okay, so I doubt your dad took you to see that in the theater.
No, I didn't. I don't remember if I saw that one in the theater, but I definitely saw that movie young, so I don't remember.
I saw it in the theater and it blew my mind. I was just so
it's great. And I watched it a couple weeks ago, like leading up to this movie, and. I mean, I don't want to, so I'm going to save my real opinions on this movie for Cinephile, but without giving my take on the movie, the movie did feel like it didn't have, like, there's a couple of iconic scenes in that first one of, like, Newman getting killed, the kids in the kitchen, the rattling water, what I mean?
Like, the doorknob, like, they can open doors.
Yeah, so, like, this one, a lot of, I don't know, it just... I didn't like leave there saying, oh, that, remember that scene? That's like, it was just kind of like,
well, the first happened. One, it's like, we've never seen anything like this.
Yeah. That music though, they need to just put that score underneath every scene, because that's when the movie is good. In this one, in the original, anytime they're looking at dinosaurs and you hear that music start to fade in.
With the la da da la da. Yeah. We played that in marching band my freshman year, and I loved playing it. It was awesome.
That is a top five score for me in a movie. In terms of like a movie that like it gives you goosebumps and it's just perfect for the movie, like it's top five for me.
I think that might match the movie better. As far as John Williams soundtracks or scores are concerned, that might match better than Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars is obviously great, but like,
But just as far as, matching the emotion Welcome and the wonder.
To Jurassic Park.
Yeah. It's just.
That part in the ride in Orlando, I don't know if you've ever been to Universal.
I've not.
Early in the ride, before you do any like drops or anything, your boat like turns a corner and it's the big Jurassic Park doors, and like it's perfectly timed with the music as the doors are opening. You hear that guy from the iconic scene, "Welcome to Jurassic Park," and like it's goosebumps on that ride every time because it's just like
that's cool.
You can't beat that song.
Jurassic Park actually has my favorite line from any movie, and it's Samuel L. Jackson saying, "Hold on to your butts." That's my favorite. I do my own mechanic work on my cars. I build things in my garage, and so I'll fix my computer. Whenever I finish the work and I'm starting to either crank the car for the first time or turn the computer on, that's my own little tradition in my head. But I say it out loud: is hold on to your butts.
Yeah,
it's always stuck with me.
I love the way Samuel Jackson in that movie has a cigarette dangling from his lip.
At all times, no matter what.
It made me want to smoke a cigarette. I was just like, I want to smoke a cigarette and I want it to dangle from my lips.
Were you ever a cigarette smoker?
No. I've been out and like someone's smoking. I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm like drunk. I'm like, you know what? Give me a cigarette. Like, but then I take like two hits and
can't do it.
Yeah, I've smoked other things. But yeah.
I tried a couple just to see, like, does it make you feel awesome? Why is everyone at school doing this? Because especially growing up in North Carolina, and still in the 90s, it was almost like you had to be a smoker to get your driver's license. You have to prove that you support the local economy,
Yeah.
And
I smoked Black and Milds in, like, eighth grade. I remember buying a pack of Black and Milds.
That's funny.
And my friend, me and my friend's just thinking we are so cool, man. Like, yo, you want one? Here you go. Mouthpiece on the end of it.
Like, oh, yeah. I tried it and I was like, nope, I don't understand why anyone does this. So we're good. I'm good. Yeah. Whatever, But but watching Samuel L. Jackson in that movie, or as your dad would say, Sam Jackson in that movie, it kind of makes you think like, man, smoking is really cool.
Man, so it's not that hard, right? Doing an episode without my dad. Look, I mean,
in some ways you could say it's easier.
He thinks it's important. I mean, I know, right? There's like no coughing breaks. I did burp a couple times.
He did, but yet he did still turn into the star of the show.
He's great,
always wins, no matter what.
I love him.
Whether he's here or whether he's not here, he always wins. But I guess this is kind of where we say goodbye for now, pod family.
I feel like you're going to like get all sensual at the end. Give us some like good voiceover, like, all right, everyone, thank you for listening. Oh, wow. He's got to cleanse the palate. Wow. What a sad sip of water. That was like your last.
The last
dry, like that was, right. That must have been so warm, that little sip.
It was. All right, pod family. We'd like to thank you for joining us today on The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Taking my shirt off.
Chris is taking his shirt off. And we'd like to thank Jeremy Taché to join us. Make sure you follow him on Twitter and other places. And you check out Miami Mic'd Up with Jeremy Taché. Mm-hmm. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review The Greg Cody Show. You can actually do that at thegregcodyshow.com. You can even buy a sexy shirt that you can take off later when the time is right at shop.thegregcodyshow.com.
Please go buy merch.
Please go buy merch.
Yes.
We want to thank everyone who's purchased some merch altogether, and we hope that you are finding wonderful excuses to remove the shirts that you have purchased. Also, if you want to be a part of the show, go to thegregcodyshow.com and click the microphone in the bottom right corner. Leave us a message with a humorous, embarrassing, or cool story about your father. Make it great and we'll play it on the show.
We should come up with like maybe next week like a, like some sort of competition. If you show us you made a purchase, maybe we'll do like a Zoom happy hour soon where it's like we're going to pick 10 people.
We'll figure that out. We'll figure that out. But until then.
All right. See you later, Pod Family.
Good night, Pod Family. I kind of froze. I didn't know what to say after that. Crap.
That kind of thing.
That kind of thing. That kind of thing.
Brada da 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 da. Brave.